like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hull.
I mean, it's going to be a lot of NBA trade talk. Woo! If you're just tuning in, the Nuggets traded Davon Reed earlier for Thomas Bryant, backup center from the Lakers. 3 second-round picks, future second-round picks. And then they just traded Bones Highland. We thought it was coming. Had a good feeling it was coming. They got 2 second-round picks back. You know, if you just look at that trade alone, it doesn't feel like a good deal. But you made up for the second-round picks that you just got rid of, at least 2 of them, to get Thomas Bryant. And you got your backup center, your biggest needs you needed to fill. Are the Nuggets done? They got less than an hour. They got less than an hour to package some second-round picks. And I don't know, is there anybody? Is Zeke Nagy somebody they trade now? Is that a guy that people are going to trade something for? Or do they go sign somebody? We'll talk about it. The Russell Westbrook idea, I know, has a lot of people mad at me right now. He's averaging like 16 points a game, 8 rebounds a game. I'd take that. I'd take it. We'll see. Okay, we'll just kind of recap some of the trades here. Kevin Durant was traded to the Brooklyn Nets, to the Phoenix Suns for a package that includes Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, and Jay Crowder. We know Jay Crowder now, since that trade has been moved to Milwaukee. So it's a crazy time. And the Lakers last night officially agreed to trade Russell Westbrook to the Jazz. They required point guard D'Angelo Russell from the Timberwolves in a 3-team, 8-player trade. Sources told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski on Wednesday. The Lakers also got Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt, former Nugget, in the trade, while the Timberwolves will get Mike Conley and Alexander Walker and picks. So it's another big move. And then, of course, we saw the Durant thing was just absolutely crazy. I mean, all these stories, Kyrie Irving talking about that, said, I'm just glad that Kevin Durant got out of Brooklyn. How bad is it at Brooklyn? You start with Steve Nash. You start with James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Then you get Steve Nash as the coach. I don't know which order that came in. All stars. Maybe not Nash in the coaching world, but stars. Nash was terrible. He's gone. James Harden didn't want to be there anymore. He gets out. He gains weight to make it look like he's not out of shape. I don't care about this place. He's gone. Then Kyrie Irving starts his stuff. And ultimately, he gets shipped out to Dallas. Now KD. And yet, Brooklyn, like right now, is 5th in the East with 32 wins. What a time to be alive. Madness absolutely happening in the NBA world. This is how it goes. I absolutely love this time of year. I think it's fun. I'm glad when the Nuggets, like I said earlier, are not to the point where they have to make a trade in order to make a run, or they're in no man's land and nothing they could do would help them make any kind of moves. I've been there with this team. Whether they're kind of a squeeze into the playoffs type of team, or they're not a playoff team at all. Little trades that we try to tell ourselves, oh yeah, this guy's going to be great. The Nuggets aren't in that position, so that's good. Got Super Bowl week coming up too, so there's always going to be Super Bowl stories. Did you see the reporter that told Patrick Mahomes, hey, Rihanna, who's performing at halftime, says you're the greatest quarterback. You're the best quarterback. And Mahomes like goes off. He's like, wow, that's awesome. Like, my family loves her. And I'm pretty sure they're more excited about Rihanna performing at halftime than they are of the Super Bowl. Oh, man, that's amazing. So the fact that I'm, like, in her favorites, that's pretty cool. And the reporter said, nah, just kidding. She didn't say that. What? Who are we allowing to be reporters now.
What's the Super Bowl? So everyone with a notepad and a tape recorder is going to go.
Dude, that guy should be kicked out. Just kicked out. Like, you're setting an athlete up. Like that, you talk about why players don't want to trust the media. I know it's all well and good fun, but it's a little embarrassing. Mahomes like goes off about how cool of an honor that is, and that's really great, and my family loves her, and thank you so much. And then he tells him that, and I'm like, what? So we just, as reporters, we go up and ask, we go up and start fake crap just to get a rise out of somebody? I know it's not the end-all be-all, but if I were in charge there, I'd be saying, that guy is never going to another press conference. You can't, like, that's, I wouldn't even do that on a radio show. I mean, imagine bringing in a player or a coach and saying, hey, so-and-so thinks you're the best. Really? That's awesome. Yeah, just kidding. And letting him go like that forever. It'd be one thing if he said, Rihanna thinks you're the best quarterback in the league. I'm just kidding. I don't know if she actually said that. But then, of course, there would be nothing there. Super Bowl week sucks. I don't like Super Bowl week. The older I get, the less I actually like the Super Bowl itself. Once we can sit down and the kickoff starts, it's like, all right, that's cool. Then of course, you have the commercials, and everybody's got to debate the commercials. When in our lives do we debate commercials, Angel? When in our lives do we get up and go, you know, I didn't really like the Doritos ad? We never do that. But because of the Super Bowl, suddenly everybody's a commercial critic. Trust me. Our guys will do it. Everybody's going to do it. I know there's going to be a lot of people that do it. And it's just going to be a, what did you think of the commercials? And it's going to be a long conversation about why this commercial was funny and why this one wasn't. Eastside Chris. That was a prank from Brandon Marshall to Mahomes, I think. I don't care. Was that Brandon Marshall? Was that who it was? I don't care. I don't care if you're a player or not. If you're getting credentials to go be a media member, and you get to go in the front and you actually ask a question, like, do that? There's a time and a place, and that's not the time. I don't know. I don't like it. If it's a player, no. I don't know. I don't care, I guess, to research it that much. But that's what Super Bowl week is. It's just a bunch of pranks and goofy questions and people asking head coaches who they'd let have, who he'd want to have date his daughter who's 5 years old. I mean, get out of here with that stuff. 13 minutes after 12 o'clock. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. It has been a wild day in the NBA. And most people are saying, no, get out of here with the Russell Wilson thing. Russell Wilson. Dang, another one. How many times? I don't want Russell Westbrook to come here, Angel, because then I'm just going to screw that up all the time. If Russell Westbrook comes here, does he say, let's, you know, Denver Nation, let's, what did you say?
Let's dig.
Let's dig.
Going for gold.
Listen, if Utah buys him out, is it worth calling his agent?
Yes.
Why not call him?
He is a veteran with lots of experience. I think his time in L.A. does not tell the entire story. I don't think he was a good fit there. I don't think LeBron really wanted him there. The fans didn't seem to want him there. His game suffered because of the environment he was in. I still think he's a tremendous talent, and he would be a great piece to have on this bench.
Yeah, because if you could, because obviously you moved Thomas Bryant in, coming off the bench at center. Right now you have, here's how the depth chart looks. Bruce Brown is essentially your backup point guard. Now, I don't know. When you're staggering Jamal Murray, what that looks like. Christian Brown's coming in as a backup shooting guard. Chonchar's coming in as the backup small forward. Jeff Green's coming in as the backup power forward. Is Smith fall into that? Where does Ignaji fall into that? If you were to bring a Russell Westbrook type guy in, where would it make sense? Probably eliminating Chonchar's minutes, because Westbrook can play. He can play guard and he can play small forward, right?
Yeah,
more of a point guard, but
I think Bryant's going to get a significant number of minutes.
Like, is Westbrook still a true point guard, or does he play as the two guy a lot? Could you play him in some instances as a three? I don't know.
I think he could do all three.
I think so. I know.
Because you're not going to have Christian do it.
Right.
I think Bruce could be your, you know, backup point guard. Russell at the two. I think that could work.
You could play Russell at two, yeah. I mean, you know, he's not a big dude, but you could move him around.
He's a very aggressive defender as well.
Yeah. Depending on how you want to mix the lineups, they're mix and match. You could bring him in. Like, he's not a big man, so he's not going to eliminate Chauncey's minutes, I guess. But depending on how you wanted to use that, they might be too guard heavy if Westbrook came in. Not point guard heavy, I guess. Could he be the backup point? Could he essentially? Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you could move Bruce as the two. I'm just throwing out ideas. It's time to get creative. Westbrook's averaging like not a bad clip this year. 16 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, 7.5 assists per game. You don't want that? And he's not a good 3-point shooter. But he's not a bad player, guys. And I've heard, oh, he's a cancer in the locker room. Is he? I mean, he's got an attitude. Nuggets fans can't stand it, but he also has fun with it. He messed with Rocky.
But he wouldn't be walking into a locker room that has a LeBron James in it. It's a Nikola Jokic that's going to be, oh, yes, Russ, come join us.
Come join us.
We win many trophies.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just throwing out scenarios. Seeing what might stick, and that's what you're doing in this process.
They have an empty roster spot. They're going to do something else.
Got to pack it. You're running out of time.
There's
plenty
of bench depth there and picks to put a deal together. Guys are going for all kinds of stuff today, so just figure out something.
Well, I do think the Thomas Bryant move, are you satisfied if that's it? Like, I'm probably good if that's it.
I would need to see what it looks like, and I'm probably there too, but it wouldn't hurt to get another guard.
How many years has he played, Thomas Bryant? He's got some experience too.
He's only 25.
Yeah, he's only 25, but he's been in the league for a few years. Because wasn't he drafted by the Lakers originally? And then went to Washington for a few years and then came back to the Lakers? I mean, he's very young, but yeah, he's been around for a little bit. So there's experience he's bringing in.
Yeah, drafted by the Lakers, then he was with Washington for 4 seasons.
His best season was, you can't really look at that season. His best season, he played 46 games with Washington in 2019/20. He averaged 13 points per game, 7 rebounds per game. But he was getting, like, this year was looking like his best year ever. You know, he played in 41 games already, 12 points per game, and as I mentioned, the 7 rebounds per game. He's not an assist guy. He's never averaged more than 2 assists in his career. But is that... that's not what you're going to need from him. You're just going to need a presence to play defense. Play defense in the paint, be a big man, swat some basketballs away, and score in the paint. Essentially, be Aaron Gordon, but more of a true center when Gordon and Joker are out. And there might be instances where you see Joker and Gordon together, or Gordon and Bryant together. It was an insurance move to back up Joker. That's what it was. He said, Chris says, this is Peyton country, not Russ Nation. Well, it would have been Russ. It would have been Nuggets Nation, and it's Broncos country. So, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 20 minutes after the hour, we got Cody Tucker coming on. There's a craziness going on in Wyoming, and we'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and their Coach, weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
¶¶ Now that would be a perfect intro for Cody Tucker. Get ready to run down the ramp, slide up onto the ring at Royal Rumble. He's got the, like I said, the bot. Just like I tried to do this with Kevin, and Kevin wasn't having it. Cody Tucker is most certainly going to be running out there, Stone Cold style, with that music blaring out onto the ring, Royal Rumble style. Cody, how's my aim? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And I like the Stone Cold thing because I'll definitely have beers.
You know it, man. You're going to be rocking the jean shorts, and you're going to have like a knee brace there and a t-shirt, and you run out there. Man, I could just see you tearing it up in the Royal Rumble for sure.
Yep, Cody 316.
I love it. Cody Tucker joining us from 7220sports.com. We love having Cody on. Our wires have crossed. You've had crazy stuff happening the last couple of weeks, but especially the last couple of days. What is going on in your neck of the woods with this basketball team, Cody?
Well, Brady, that's why I'm at the bar right now, and I don't even know if it's noon.
It's close enough, man. Week. It's good. You're good.
I can't even believe it's Thursday, to be honest with you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the news started on Friday with Graham EK shutting it down, and I don't think anybody was crazy surprised by that. Maybe a little bit, because I don't think anybody thinks he's going to exhaust his eligibility in Laramie anyway, so I don't think it would have been a big deal for him to burn his shirt and come back and give the Cowboys a fighting chance in Vegas and possibly to make a run. But he announced he's shutting it down and going to be rehabbing that right foot injury. And then, of course, Saturday night at San Jose State, Noah Reynolds gets absolutely hammered under the bucket, and he has his third concussion in 6 months, and now he's on the shelf as well. And then, of course, Tuesday night, the three transfers from the Pac-12 all decided to back up and hit the road. So Max Ogbonpolo, Ethan Anderson, and Jake Hyman are no longer with the program. So, yeah, other than that, not a lot going on.
Now, so, Cody, what – I'm just going to ask you the standard question. What do you know? When did you know it? What's going on? Like, what – with those players, any specifics as to why they're leaving?
Well, as many of these stories begin, Brady, you get a message from somebody who you have no idea who they are, and they tell you, hey, you might want to look into this. And then the reporting begins. And, yeah, I talked to more Californians yesterday than I ever care to. And I'm just kidding. They were all great, actually.
Oh, they're fantastic people. Yeah.
But, it just is one of those things where Coach Linder, he was in your neck of the woods for a long time. He's a tough guy. He's a hard-nosed coach, and some guys handle that better than others. And as far as my sources are saying in California, Jeff was just, not very pleasant to be around at times for these guys. And they didn't play a lot. And you know how Jeff works. If, people say, how is this guy not playing? Well, he must not be doing what Jeff Linder is asking him to do. I mean, it just boils down to that. I saw Jeff Linder in his first year in Laramie bench Marcus Williams, the Mountain West freshman player of the year, and that was during COVID when he didn't have a bench. He didn't have a bench to even bench him. So, he's not afraid to do things like that. So, that's kind of what this is boiling down to. His coach was really tough, and, these guys didn't handle it and didn't like what he was saying, and they decided to hit the road. And, Jeff was in a really good mood last night, And it just seems like this was probably best to just get this divorce over with now.
Yeah, and listen, I like Jeff Linder. I'm a big fan. I've always had good conversations with him when he was here, working closely with him and such. But let me ask you, Cody, I mean, you look at the nature of sports now, especially college sports. Is Jeff Linder, I mean, this is kind of, Craig Bohl, we got tough-nosed coaches up north there. Is Jeff Linder going to be a kind of guy that, in the next 5 years, whatever, can survive in college sports? And I hope so, but I'm asking you.
Yeah, I've had the fortune of covering Tom Izzo at Michigan State for 2 years.
Yeah.
And he opened practices, man. And he said, don't you tweet a thing or you'll never be in this building ever again as long as you live. But I saw him kick guys off his team left and right during practice, and guys telling him, F you, I'm out of here. And he'd say, good, see ya, I can use your scholarship on somebody who cares. And so it's just, you wonder about that kind of stuff, if this hard-nosed stuff is going to last for much longer. But I don't think Jeff's that hardcore. I think it's more he can play the bad cop and he can be the tough guy, but he's also surrounded himself with assistants that are good cops. So he might be the type to tear you down and really rip your head off and then his assistants are perfect, in my opinion. Then they come up and build you up, tell you in a nice way what you did wrong, and this is what you need to work on. But Hunter Maldonado said last night in his press conference, I love Jeff Linder. I wouldn't be in a foxhole with anybody else. He's meant the world to me. And Jeff Linder didn't recruit Hunter Maldonado. Hunter could have left. He could have left when Allen Edwards was fired. But he decided to come back, and last night he became the fifth all-time player in Wyoming history to score more than 2,000 points, and he puts a lot of that gives a lot of that credit to Jeff Linder and what he's brought to this program.
Well, typically bodes well for a coach too when your star player has that to say about you and sticking it out. So that obviously interesting times for the Cowboys. What about Graham EK, Cody? We saw, you know, what you put out there, what he put out, and of course you covered that story of him basically saying, hey, I'm shutting her down. What does that mean for next season, for him playing, for him being a Cowboy?
Oh, boy, that's the million-dollar question, right, isn't it, Brady? My God. By no indications will tell you that he's leaving. Jeff Linder stuck with him out of high school when he tore his ACL. Not a lot of other teams did. I mean, now when you look back in hindsight, which we do often, how does CSU not offer a guy like that? How does he get out of Denver?
Insane.
Know what I mean? And if you think about it, Graham Ike, Xavier Dussel, Marcus Williams, those guys were going to play basketball at the University of Northern Colorado.
Oh, if a guy can dream. Wouldn't that have been something?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the plan.
That was the plan, and they were going there because of Linder. So you would like to think that, hey, that loyalty's there, but we all know money talks. But as far as I know, Graham EK loves the University of Wyoming. He loves Jeff Linder. He loves the fans. He's loved his experience, and he can get where he wants to go from Laramie, Wyoming. He doesn't need to go anywhere else. It's just a matter of, does that money talk? And I think something that's going to be a wild card in all this, a lot of people don't know that Graham EK's uncle is Daniel Graham, former Denver Bronco, former New England Patriots, CU Buff. So that's a pro that he has to lean on to say, hey, what do you do in this situation? And I could see a Daniel Graham say, hey, can you get where you want to go out of Laramie, Wyoming? And the answer is absolutely positively yes. And they played in the NCAA tournament last year. And if they return most of this core next year, along with Graham EK, they're going to be scary, and they're going to have a chip on their shoulder and be pissed off. So I think it'd be a really good scenario if he does come back.
Well, and I know the CSU thing is a bad word up there, Cody, but you could use David Roddy. That's another selling point. Like, hey, David Roddy was a Mountain West guy, and he was a smaller school, but it doesn't matter that much in basketball. If you have the ability and you can get to March Madness somehow, which they could if they get him healthy back, so it's a possibility.
No doubt. I mean, Larry Nance is in New Orleans right now. He made his way in Laramie, Wyoming. I mean, Theo Ratliff, Reggie Slater, Venice Dembo, guys like that, they've gotten it done in Laramie. You can get where you want to go. And, you know, Andy Katz had the Cowboys as a dark horse Final Four team this year.
Yeah.
You never know, man. Yeah. You never know when you get hot. And I think that's where a lot of people thought, man, if Graham can come back for these last handful of games and they can make a run in Vegas and somehow win that thing, they could be the most dangerous team in the field.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen now, so it's kind of a good thing that Graham decided to come out with that and just say, hey, it's over, because, you know, we've asked Linder about that, so we've all been blue in the face, and I'm sure he's tired of talking about it, and I know we are too.
Cody Tucker joining us from 7220sports.com. Cody, stupid question, but it's, you know, still remnants from the COVID years and such. Hunter Maldonado's a senior, but does he have any kind of eligibility left?
That's a fantastic question.
Oh, good. It wasn't stupid. And, good, good.
No, he does not.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's been here 6 years, him and Hunter Thompson. So,
golly.
It's been a long time, man. He's breaking records left and right these days.
Oh, I just have to ask. I never know anymore. Like, starting the season, and I do a lot of CSU stuff, but I thought it was over for Isaiah after this year, Isaiah Stevens. But, you know, as we got going, it's like, wait a second. He actually does have the COVID thing going on, so he could come back potentially. So I'll be honest, man, I have no freaking clue. These guys are going to be 90 before they get out of college.
If Graham EK comes back next year, let's just say he's a Joe Blow college kid, he still has 3 years of eligibility
remaining.
Oh,
my goodness. Wow.
And it says he's a junior because, as far as UW said, the NCAA made them bump everybody up to their actual year. But technically, last year is the only year that counted for Graham EK.
That's insane. to me. So, I mean, he could be around, and hopefully he is. I mean, I personally would love to see him, you know, stick around. Obviously, that'd be great for the conference. It'd be great for Wyoming. Yep. Hopefully he does.
Absolutely.
Cody, what are you working on, man, that we can check out? I know it was a bummer last night for Wyoming, but what can you expect? I mean, shorthanded is an understatement going up against UNLV with the cards that the Cowboys have been dealt.
Yeah, you know, I wrote a column about it last night. I was really impressed. To be honest with you, I went into that game, Brady, not even planning to write anything about the game. I mean, it was one of those deals where it's like, oh, there's a game tonight because of everything going on. And they played with a lot of heart. They played with a lot of try. They played with grit. I mean, they held UNLV to 33% shooting from the field, and you can't ask for much better than that. They just didn't have a very good shooting night, and they're only rolling seven deep. So really gutsy effort, and you can tell, you know, these are the guys that want to be here. These are the guys that want to play hard for Jeff, and it really showed last night. So that was sweet. And other than that, you know, some football stuff. We got spring football on the horizon here beginning on March 28th, and then of course, there's a Wyoming Cowboy this weekend in the Super Bowl. So we're excited to see Marcus Epps, a former walk-on at Wyoming, who's really been a great safety for the Eagles. He played, I think, every single snap for the Eagles defense this year. So really excited for Marcus and his opportunity.
Cody, anything sticking out for you? And that is awesome, too, by the way. But anything sticking out to you as far as what any players popping out for spring ball that we should be like starting to pay attention to with Wyoming?
Yeah, there's a name that, you know, it's he was in spring ball last year, and he was supposed to be the man, but he hurt himself right before the start of the season. And that guy is Sebastian Harsh, a defensive end for the Cowboys from Scottsbluff, Nebraska. He was the unquestioned MVP of the offseason last year, and then unfortunately suffered a knee injury right before the season opener in Illinois and never didn't get to see him. But another guy from your neck of the woods, Buck Coors, Nickelback, another guy who got hurt during the during fall camp. He's a guy that everybody's really excited to see at the nickel position. Battled his way back. Wasn't even supposed to touch the field last year and came back and actually played in the last three games. So really excited to see what Buck's got. And he's a walk-on as well, so you always love those stories.
Well, and the name is amazing, too. You appreciate perfect. That name, I know.
Oh, I love it. If I could give him my own personal NIL deal, I would.
I mean, you know, it's a Coors is fine and all. It's no, you know, Lush Puppy IPA, you know, Cody, as I know you love those kind of beers.
I hope nobody ever has that last name, Brady. I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
I'm going to save you. You and I are going to get together soon when the season's over. So I'm going to, you got to take, will you take a sip of one kind of strange offshoot craft beer?
Yeah, maybe a sip in your flight of garbage. I will take a sip and then spit it into a glass like we're at a wine tasting.
Okay, I look forward to that. That would be a blast, actually. I want to bring you in. I want to bring you into like the kind of, I don't know what the word, the prissiest brewery there is in Fort Collins, and you and I will go in there and we'll see what happens.
Do you think they'll kick me out when they find the cores in my backpack?
Yeah, probably. But that'll be fine. I'll join you. We'll be fine.
It'll be worth it.
He'll shotgun some beers in the alley, man. We'll figure it out.
Deal.
All right, Cody, my man. You take care of yourself. We'll catch up with you next week if we can. We'll see what our schedules look like, but love connecting with you, man.
Awesome, Brady. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, man. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. He's one of my favorites. He's one of my favorites because he just doesn't – I'm going to say this, and this is a nice thing. He doesn't quite fit the mold of the quote-unquote typical reporter. You know? He just doesn't fit that mold. And I think Wyoming absolutely loves that because they want a guy that's just like straight from the hip and he's raw and he's bringing it exactly how it is. So Cody's a good dude. He's just not a big you know, craft beer guy. You know, so that's what I'm trying to get him to try one. I wasn't either though, Angel. I'm a far. You're an Alabama guy. What's the craft beer scene there?
Bud Light, Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
Natty Light,
same as Eastern Colorado.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of craft. There are craft breweries there, but it's definitely not as much as here.
Yeah, trust me, I love craft beer. I mean, it makes me like it destroys my stomach. But you know, back in the, I always joke and say I grew up on Coors Light and Bud Light. Wait, you grew up drinking? No, that's just what was there. That was the beer. So I get you, and I get those that don't really like the craft beer, but I'm kind of in. I'm kind of into the scene. I'm not obsessed, but I'm into the scene.
I'm a little picky on it.
Are you really?
Like, I'm not a huge fan of dark beers.
No, I used to be.
I'm
not
like
anymore.
IPAs. So I'm very limited in terms of what I will drink.
See, and I used to hate IPAs. Now it's all I'll drink.
No.
That's all I'll have
my
is
dad
IPAs.
Dad was the same way.
Yeah.
He loves IPAs now.
Oh.
I don't get it.
What
switched in your brain?
Don't know.
Like, oh, this is good.
I don't know. So when I started in the craft, because I used to host our show Brew Talk that airs here on Tuesdays. I started that show, and I knew nothing of craft beer. And one of the very first kind of crafty beeries that I tried was actually from our boys down here. It's Tight Knit Brewery. They used to be Bricks. They're friends of ours. They had an Irish Red on, and they still have it. And it's still very good. I still like it. But that was always my go-to. And so I liked that kind of stuff. Zwei Brewing does the Dunkel, those kind of things. That was my beer, kind of a mix, a little darker. And suddenly I changed that. And I don't know what... I'll tell you, it's probably, Weldworks down here. I tried their famous one. What's their famous one? Juicy Bits? I tried that. And I always made fun of it. I'm like, Juicy Bits? This is no, that's not. And I tried it, and I'm like, that's actually pretty good. And I love some of these local breweries, man. They're creative. They're good at what they do. 12:40 the time. Angel, more Nuggets talk. Broncos talk, too. Let's get into it. On the other side, let's get to the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Everybody hurts sometimes.
My house, city, baby.
Yeah. That's tough. I liked Bones. I would say for as long as he was here, a season and a half, he probably was with that amount of time, the most famous Nugget. Not like I'm not saying he's the most famous Nugget of all time. Not even close. But a guy that earned it in that short span, Bones Highland. Nobody's ever stormed onto the scene like that. I mean, Carmelo was drafted with the second or third pick overall. So that was cool, but he wasn't like lovable right off the bat. Bones, considering he was a project player, an experiment, yeah. So Harrison Wind, our friend at DNVR Nuggets, tweeted, I didn't think Bones Highland had a lot of value in the trade market, but 2 seconds isn't much of a return at all. That tells you how much the Nuggets felt like they needed to move him now. His chapter in Denver closes just like that. So that last line, Angel, or the second to last line, that tells you how much the Nuggets felt like they needed to move him now. What does that mean? Does that mean that there was more stuff going on behind the scenes? That there was a little bit of drama? Because if they felt like they needed to move him now, because if you agree that 2 seconds isn't that much, then you are saying they needed to move him out because there was something going on with Malone. There's something going on with the locker room.
Yeah, I didn't want to believe that at first, and as we got more reports about it, it became more and more tangible. And then, you know, Jamal had the whole, you know, the Twitter spat or whatever that was. MPJ talking, like, the players kept, like, were being asked about Bones, and they were giving, you know, high praise for him and all of that. But the writing was kind of on the wall when he wasn't playing games, and, you know, if it was a playing time issue or a role playing issue, whichever. It sucks, but the Denver fans that are like freaking
out right now. Yeah,
relax.
They're losing their minds. It's because
you know all these other teams in the Western Conference are making moves, and yeah, it's going to be a challenging second half of the season. But they're all making moves because they have to catch up to the Denver Nuggets, who are 4.5 games in the lead right now, with a 2-time MVP,
yeah,
with Jamal Murray, who's starting to find himself again, with MPJ, who is finding himself, Aaron Gordon. Like, relax, guys. Relax.
Yeah,
the Nuggets still have an open roster spot.
Yeah.
They're going to look at the buyout market, and there's plenty of guys there.
Again, you basically just traded Bones Highland, Davon Reed, and a second-round pick to get Thomas Bryant. That's the way you want to look at it. Now, for those just tuning in and don't know the facts of it yet, the Nuggets traded 3 second-round picks and Davon Reed for Thomas Bryant. They got 2 second-round picks back from the Clippers for Bones Highland. So they're out, and again, I don't, the year's in front of me. I think they got back a 2024 second round pick, and then they got back their 2025 second round pick. And then in the NBA, second round picks. I know Joker was a second round pick, but you're not banking on everything to turn out like Joker. It is what it is. You have your group. You're not going to be wasting. You're not going to be needing top tier picks for the next 5 years. You're just not. Calvin Booth. This was not a Calvin Booth guy. Bones Highland was not Calvin Booth's draft pick. That was something that I wondered if that weighed into it too. There wasn't as much of a real connection there. But that's the way I'm looking at it. So looking at it that way, Davon Reed, Bones Highland, and a second round pick for Thomas Bryant. Is that too much? Did the Nuggets get fleeced? That was their biggest need. We all agreed that they needed to bolster up the bench, and that started with a big man because they didn't have one. It was not DeAndre Jordan, and it was not Zeke Nagy, and Chanchar can play, but he's not a center. And Bryant could shoot too, so it's not. I'm just not looking at it that way. Something was going on with Bones. They seem to be fine without him, and you got your backup center out of the deal.
Yeah, and I think we're caught up in Bones' highs, and you know the Mile High City and the big threes and all of this, the awesome moments that we got from Bones the last year and a half. But you have to understand the bottoms that he had were bad. The turnovers, yes. The erratic yes. play, yep. The I'm going to drive into the paint and try to get something. Oh, there's three guys there. Let me just force it
and
up.
He wasn't facilitating. He's not a point guard. He's listed as a point guard, but he's not facilitating. Jamal's not like a quote a traditional point guard that's facilitating, but he makes up for it with his scoring mentality.
Yeah, and Bones can score. It was just streaky.
It was streaky. And you can't take streaky and depend on streaky in the playoffs.
Which is why I think they're going to go look at a veteran guard on the buyout market. Maybe not a Westbrook, but a guy like Patrick Beverley, who just got traded, will likely be bought out. There's going to be guys on this market that you can go look at.
Let's see what they do. We got 10 minutes. We got 10 minutes until the trade deadline. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up the second hour of the show on the other side. More Nuggets. Yes, we will get into the Broncos stuff as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Your home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Our First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Your thoughts on the Bones Highland trade. Your thoughts on the Nuggets acquiring Thomas Bryant, the backup center from the Lakers. Or your thoughts on what's going on with Russell Wilson's charity and everything. USA Today had a six-month investigation on this. It investigated past Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year award winners, nonprofits. They keyed in on the Broncos quarterback, Russell Wilson. He received that honor in 2020. And we love that award. It's a big-time award. And then that kind of starts off these nonprofits and such. USA Today found that Wilson's organization reported it spent just 24.3 cents of every dollar on charitable activities in 2020 and 2021 combined, and nearly twice as much, $1.1 million, on salaries and employee benefits in that span, according to federal tax records. The salaries that we're talking about include more than six figures for an executive who also works personally for Sierra and Russell Wilson, which has nonprofit experts looking and digging into this. This was the investigation from 990 federal tax returns from the nonprofit's inception through 2021 show that it reported $7.5 million in revenue and $7 million in expenses during its first 8 years of existence. Less than half of the money, $2.8 million or 39.6 cents of every dollar spent, has gone to charitable activities, all as grants to other nonprofits. The remaining $4.2 million paid for fundraising, administrative and management expenses, including the salaries of three employees who have received $1.9 million combined. Now, again, it's not like the free market here. You know, this isn't, well, it's your money, you can do what you want with it. You're setting it up as a charity, as a nonprofit. It's like, okay, it's like, you know, nonprofits in this area, if they tell you, donate money to this and we'll make sure we buy food or whatever with it, but then you find out that less than half of that, if you donated $50 to World Food Bank and you find out that $12 of that or $20 of that actually went toward food, you'd be pretty upset, wouldn't you? If you donated $50 to World Food Bank and you found out just $20, basically that's what this is. You can't set yourself up and say we're a nonprofit, and then when money's going to it, you're using less than half of it to actually use for charitable donating and all that kind of thing that comes with it. So is this all in Russell Wilson? He built this up. He created it, and then other people probably ran it. In 2020 was the year Wilson was given the Man of the Year award. His foundation reported $838,000 in revenue and $1.2 million in expenses, including $257,000 on charitable activities and then $548,000 on salaries and employee benefits. That means about twice as much money went to executives in the foundation compared to charity, and only 21 cents of every dollar earned went to charity. Is this a really bad thing for Russell Wilson, or do you look at it and go, he started it, it's his name behind it, is it all on him? Or is it, you tagged your name to it, and unfortunately people just ran it the wrong way? USA Today called into question the exact contributions Wilson has made, which were cited by the NFL as some of the reasons for why the quarterback was given the award. Whew. So where are you on this one? It's a rough story here. And we're going to, I don't know if you saw the USA story on this. It is lengthy. It is quite the read. You need to probably sit down, grab a bottle of wine, and relax and plan to spend an hour or two, if you're me anyway, because I don't retain as fast on these kind of stories, man. I have to reread stuff over and over again. Wild. 12:57 the time. 1 o'clock hour coming up next. The Nuggets, that's the big story of the day. There's no question. That's our big topic. We'll talk more about what their chances look like to win it all coming back on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.